Amen. We need it. It's the truth. Thank you for singing that song, Miss Eloise. You know, there's times when you sing a song and your heart might not be in it, and it's just easier. And then there's times when you sing a song and your heart's in it and you're actually meaning the prayer that you're singing, and it gets harder. I can imagine how difficult that song would be for the truth that it is. As you may have noticed, Pastor is not here. My name is Bo Garber. I'm the assistant pastor, and I am not preaching today. God, praise the Lord. Pastor mentioned it to me last week. He said, you're preaching next Sunday night, correct? And I looked at him and said, yes, sir. He didn't tell me before that moment. And then he reminded me later. He's like, I am so sorry. Brother Monty Rowe is the one who's preaching next week, not you. I said, praise the Lord, but I was going to be ready either way. But he did tell me that he wanted me to introduce Brother Thorpe, against Brother Thorpe's wishes. His wife even told me that he's not going to like this. But I made sure all the information I got for him was from her. Praise the Lord. I told him that, and he didn't like that either. Get a little information on Brother Thorpe. He's been here roughly 5 years. That's what his wife told me. They came from California, where he was in the ministry for 25 years at Calvary Baptist Church and Pacific Coast Bible College. He's originally from Kansas. That's the reason why him and my wife get along so well, because she's also from Kansas. And they're both fans. He wanted me to make sure I mentioned this. They're both fans of KU Jayhawk basketball. And they did win. He wanted, want to make sure that was mentioned. But Brother Thorpe has been given the opportunity and the blessing to get to preach to us. So let's make sure we give him undivided attention, as well as a round of applause for taking up this position.
Thank you, Bo. What a great addition to our church, Bo and Brittany. Not so much them. Their two little daughters are real joys. Yeah, number three may be coming today. Yeah, okay. Well, this is not going to be an English lesson, and it appears that way. Let me explain. This is the shortest title I've ever had for a message I've preached as. And ironically, it'll be the longest message I've ever preached. Okay. So in the English language, the word as can be used for a variety of purposes. I'm sure not the one to teach you English. It can be used in a conjunction, preposition, adverb, depending on the context. Today we're going to use it as an adverb, Romans 1:21. Now I'm going to have to look around every once in a while because the screen's not working on the back wall. So fortunately, I brought my notes, but I'm not sure what you're going to be seeing, all right? It's very difficult to take this scripture and not do the entire chapter one of Romans. It is an indictment against mankind, and it includes in that chapter about every possible defilement of man that you see in our country today. Everyone, especially in the world. And so just to take this one clause out, I was going to read the whole chapter, but I really don't have time to do that, or it really would be the longest message I've ever preached. So I've taken this one verse because this verse seems to account to us why these events have happened. Romans 1:21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Now, I've highlighted some things for you. I want you to look. And so today we're using as an adverb, because the adverb modifies a verb, and it's modifying the verb glorified. It doesn't say they glorified him not God. They were glorifying God. They just did not glorify him as God. And so when we look at the adverb as, hos is the Greek word. It's as we would expect, like, even as, to the same degree or amount. And so we could make a substitution with the same Greek word, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not to the same degree that he is. And then the other words I've highlighted for this reason. I want you to know how much this has to do with thinking. I've mentioned to the class that I teach here that if you can't think, you can't be a Christian. This is not dumb man's religion. Now, it doesn't mean we're educated. After all, we are Baptists. Okay. But if you can't think, you can't be a Christian. Now, seriously, this is not just, well, let's just try Jesus and see if it works out. Or I think God would have me to do this, or I think God would have me to do that. For you to truly be a Christian and then walk as a Christian, you must be able to think. And you say, well, what about those people that can't? Then we'll put them under the mercy of God, all right? But we're thinkers here this morning. So it says when they knew him, and that word knew, gnosko, if you look, it's to know, to understand, to perceive, to have knowledge of, to understand completely. So it's not just a vague knowledge. These people knew God, all right? And then it says they glorified him not as God, and the word glorifies is doxazo, is to thank. The reason I'll put these words in, then we'll get going. I just want you to understand the connection here with thinking and what we think. And so, to glorify him, I think sometimes, I know last year our theme for the year was glorify the Creator. I think sometimes we're really puzzled on how do you glorify God? Well, it's to know, to understand, to perceive, to have knowledge, understanding. And then doxazo is to think. Now look, here's the definition of glory. To think, suppose, to be of an opinion, to praise, extol, magnify, celebrate. And so if you're going to, my premise this morning is if you're going to glorify God, you've got to think right. I mean, you've got to think right. You. In fact, let's just go on to the fourth word, imaginations. See, again, it's a thinking word, imaginations. Dilogimosimos. The thinking of a man deliberating within himself, a thought, inward reasoning. So I think you get, I hope you get the picture. I'm going to preach the message, but I want you to see the picture. When they knew God in their brains, for whatever reason, probably because they did not like some of the things that God requires, they didn't think of him as God. They didn't glorify, they didn't acknowledge him as God. They may have acknowledged God, but not as God. And then in their vain, their imaginations, it says in the verse, they became vain in their imaginations and their foolish hearts was darkened. What's imaginations? Well, it's just what we think things are. We imagine it. Now, I don't believe there's a soul in this auditorium this morning that would not admit you know God. Now, I don't know what the degree, but now we're going to have to determine whether we know God as he is God or if we know the God of our imagination. And it's a dangerous thing, especially if you read, which I didn't have time to do all, if you read what this has resulted in the lives of these people, they here in Romans 1, and you realize what's happened to them in their lives, how they became lesbians and abortionists, and how they became homosexuals and angry and murderers and defilers and fornicators. And it all seems to stem from a time somewhere when they knew God, thinking, for some reason, they stopped worshiping him as God. They didn't stop worshiping God. They stopped worshiping him as God, as who he truly is, and their imaginations became vain, and they started imagining what God was like and what God would want. Here's past examples. Adam. Adam knew God. Now, come on, Adam walked with God personally. Adam knew God better than I know God in a personal relationship. And he only had one single prohibition. You ever think about that? There's only one law. Only 10% of the Ten Commandments. I mean, we have 10 commandments. Adam only had one. And you know, the Jews in the mitzvah or the Torah, really, they've figured out that the Jews had 613 laws. Adam had one. I mean, the Jews had, they figured out 248 things they had to do, 365 things they were prohibited from doing. I know Joanne's been listening to the Old Testament, and she was telling me, man, how could these people keep up with all of this? Adam had one law. And guess what happened? He couldn't keep it. I guess he must have decided when Eve suggested apples for dinner that God would rather him choose for his wife than choose for God. I don't know what he was thinking. I just know this. He knew God. Something happened. Cain, their oldest boy, knew God. I mean, come on, Cain knew God. Cain, I think, missed out on the family devotions on the night about murder and how to glorify God. He must have been out late that night. He missed the family devotions. But Cain knew God. In fact, he was worshiping God when he got in trouble. My supposition is he was worshiping the God of his imagination. He thought, you know, God's going to be just as pleased with my beets and turnips as he is with Abel's bloody lamb. Now listen, Cain knew God. Noah and his family. Now I know Noah knew God, and I'm going to suppose that his three sons knew God. God put them on the ark. And so there was a time, a couple of times in world history, that men knew God. What happened? Somewhere along the line, soon after the ark docked, someone decided that God really wasn't this way. The Israelites knew God. I mean, come on. The Israelites saw some of the greatest evidences of God ever. The plagues in Egypt from the hand of God. The parting of the Red Sea. That should get your attention. The column of smoke and the fire by night and the presence of God in the wilderness and the miraculous food and sandals that didn't wear out. They knew. Come on, folks. They were not atheists. But they didn't enter into the land. There's a coming a time, Jesus said, when some people will say to him, Lord, Lord, we've done all these marvelous things. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Now those people are saying, Lord, Lord, let me tell you something. They know God. I guess what I'm trying to say is there's a difference in knowing God and knowing God. Now that's a confusing statement. There's a difference in knowing God and knowing God as God. Knowing God of our imagination or knowing God as God. This is just a warning. I don't think there's an atheist. I've said this. Are there any atheists in here this morning? You don't have. That's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer that. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. I don't think there are any atheists in here this morning. And the people I've just given you as past examples were not atheists. Every one of them knew God to some degree. All right, but. There's another past example. I call it the United States of America. There was a time we knew God. Now, and you're going to say, well, wait a minute, Brother Thorpe, I know God. Now, wait a minute, just relax a minute and let me get to where I'm going, because, you see, I'm older than everybody in this auditorium except Arnold. I just said that, Arnold, to make sure you're awake, okay? I know Arnold's the only one here, bless his heart, he's healthier than I am. He's the only one older than me. I remember a country that was different. I remember some things that some of you don't remember. Some of you can't even imagine. I can remember when the family was strong, and to break up a family was a horrible, horrible sin. I can remember when fornication was looked down on, and actually there were laws against it. I can remember when perversion was still here, but no one knew it except the perverts. They weren't allowed to marry. They weren't allowed to adopt children. They weren't allowed to run for president, which is one that's doing this year, or in 2020. You guys, you got to be, no, you know, I was stood in this pulpit a few years ago and preached a graduation service, and my whole premise was, I'm a time capsule, an old crusty one. But there's some things I can bring to forefront today, and there was a time in our country when abortion wasn't legal. I lived those days. There was a country that believed that capital punishment wasn't inhumane justice for murderers. Folks, it's changed. What happened? What happened? Where did we go wrong? And I'm going to say we, because it wasn't the atheists that went wrong. It was us that went wrong. Us editorially. The believer. This country doesn't even resemble the country that I was, when I was a teenager, doesn't even resemble it in morality. There was a time our country knew God. And let me give you some present examples. When I did this, I kind of in my mind said, Lord, please have certain people not here today. The Catholics, now I know you don't like this, just bear with me. I'm not trying to pick. I'm not going to say a thing about them that's not true. The Catholics, they say they know God. But now wait a minute. They believe that infant baptism washes away original sin. They believe in a purgatory. They believe that Mary was a perpetual virgin. They believe that if you don't eat the blood, drink the blood and eat the body of Christ as the Eucharist, you can't be saved. Now, I'm just saying, now listen, I did not say a word that's not true. I'm just saying that there seems to be a gap between what they believe as knowing God and what I believe as knowing God. The Mormons, they say they know God, but they deny Jesus as Lord. They believe he's the brother of Satan. Seriously, now listen to me. I'm not saying things that aren't true, so don't get mad at me for... I'm not defaming these people. I'm telling you what they believe, and I'm puzzled. Jehovah's Witnesses say they believe God. They deny Jesus as God incarnate, and they believe in soul sleep or annihilation, if you will. They believe in God, if you ask them. The Muslims, they believe in God. In fact, we're being told more and more in our country that Allah is just the same as Jehovah. It's just you just kind of worship him differently. The Muslims deny Jesus was crucified and resurrected and deny he was God in the flesh. Now, what I'm saying is, listen, when they knew God, they worshiped him not as God. We've seen a whole history of it, and we're living in a history of it. In fact, I may have time, Dolly. Can you put up the New Mexico religious thing that I gave you? Is it up there? There it is. Now, I just want you to see this because, Brother Cox, you remember that? You sent this to me. I knew it would come in handy one of these days. Now, this was published in the Albuquerque Journal January of this year. We support a woman's decision about abortion. We clergy and religious leaders from across New Mexico, in accordance with our moral convictions and our personal faith, support women's ability to access a full range of productive health. Now, those aren't atheists. Those aren't Buddhists. They're the religious leaders of New Mexico today, this year. And in that group, there's 96 individuals that signed this, 35 female reverends. We'll deal with that later. And just to give you some ideas... Presbyterian, Methodist, Lutheran, American Baptist. Got to put a Baptist in there. American Baptists don't even believe in the deity of Christ. Seriously. And then you can read the rest. Okay, Dolly, take that down before people start throwing rocks at me. I just want you to see, these people claim to know God. Well... let's take some personal examination. I'm not trying to give you a history lesson. I think we ought to consider this with fear and trembling. Because I know God. How do I know if I'm worshiping Him? How do I know if I'm glorifying Him as God? What areas of my life am I glorifying the God of my imagination, the small g God that I think allows me to do certain things? And doesn't mind if I do those. Psalms 50, verse 21. Boy, this is a key. Look at this. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before your eyes. You see what God's saying? Listen, I get it. You think that I'm like you. You think I don't care about abortion. You think I don't care about line up all the things. You think I don't care about murder. You think I don't care about perversion. You see, it's become totally acceptable in our society. I don't care about that. What I care about is what are we thinking about? Listen, he says, these things hast thou done. And I kept silent. And I tell you the truth, I think he's kept silent in our country. See, I don't necessarily agree that God is judging our country, because I think he's already set up enough examples that we know that judgment will come. But he said, listen, I kept silent. thou thoughtest I was altogether as thyself. And so man has this tendency to make up a God of his imagination. God is like me. And when I have more mercy, when I think that it's unmerciful to have capital punishment for capital murder, then I believe God agrees with me. See, I'm not talking, again, you're going to get tired of me hearing this. I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm not talking about atheists. I'm talking about you and me. How would you like your husband or your wife, this may be happening, to want you to be what they want you to be? Well, it happens a lot in marriage, you know that? That a husband can't put up with his wife the way she is because that's not the way he wants her. Oh, I hear you, ladies. Well, listen. I'm going to read, I'm not going to sing this. Fair enough? The Carpenters. You people are just too young. I figured out, the Carpenters sang this song in 1975, so you would have to be at least 60 to remember the song. Because you'd have to be at least 45. You'd be 45 today when the song was made, and you'd be too young to remember it at 0 or 1 year old. So I'm figuring, you know, add 20 years where you had some consciousness. This song, so if, for those of you that are over, for those of you that are younger than 65, you won't remember the song. That's not the point anyway. I want to read the lyrics, and I made a vow to God I would not sing them this morning because I didn't want to upstage the choir. The song was called Love Me for What I Am. We fell in love on the first night that we met. Together we've been happy. I have very few regrets. The ordinary problems have not been hard to face, but lately little changes have been slowly taking place. You're always finding something's wrong in what I do, but you can't rearrange my life because it pleases you. You've got to love me for what I am, for simply being me. Don't love me for what you intend or hope that I will be. And if you're only using me to feed your fantasy, you're really not in love. So let me go. I must be free. Now, I knew you wouldn't remember it. I could put God's name in here. All of a sudden, some things, little changes have been slowly taking place. You're always finding something is wrong in what I do. The title of the song is Love Me for What I Am. You know, that's what God wants. He wants us to glorify Him as He is, not as we think He is. Now, take inventory this morning. I'm going to go through some items here because they're social items. They're called social. There are no social items. They're moral items. Our government's not failing in social items. It's failing in the moral items of our country. And to tell you the truth, that's immaterial to me right now. What is important to me is how you and I... See, because well, here's what scares me. It was those that filled the church pews 60 years ago that somehow, what happened? Somehow let these truths slip through their fingers. And now we're paying the price. But that's fine, because I don't intend this message to be a derogatory message against the United States of America, the country I love. We know where it is, and we know it's in bad shape. I am more concerned about what you and I are doing. Are we doing the same thing? Because we, in this room this morning, we believe in God. We know God. Every one of us says, yes, I know God. The interesting thing is how do you determine what God you know? And so just I'll put up some of these. We may not be able to deal with all of them, but let's do number one, Dolly, and it's called abortion. Now, and I'm going to use some things. We've been here almost 6 years, but what's a year? And you said roughly 5 years. It's been rough 5 years. Okay, I think it's going to get rougher. Do you know Hillary Clinton? Do you know Michelle Lujan Grisham? Hillary Clinton's a Methodist. Michelle Lujan Grissom's a Catholic. Both of those advocate all the way up to late-term abortion. They advocate it. They believe in it. They promote it. But wait a minute. One's a Methodist. One's a Catholic. So if you were to ask them, they know God. I don't want you to get mad at those ladies. You're probably mad at them already. That's not my point. I just want you to understand that these aren't avowed atheists that are saying this. Now, what do you think about abortion? Now, do you realize in America, since abortion started 1973, there's been about 57 million babies aborted in our country? Now, see, statistics are just statistics. They probably don't mean a whole lot, but do you realize that the largest state in the United States is California, only has 39 million people, and we've aborted 58 million babies? But what I want to know is what you think about abortion. So I've got some statistics here. See, because most Christians would say it's okay in cases of victim of rape and fetal health problems and physical health problems. Let me tell you something. Don't get mad at me. If you want to say it's my opinion, I don't care. But abortion is never right in any position. If it was, then when we have a Down syndrome child of 13, we should be able to execute that child. Just because you can't see the child in the womb and the doctor says it's going to have this problem, in God's eyes does not give you the right to abort and murder the child. Now I don't know how you believe. I'm just telling you that in God's eyes, there is no abortion. So you don't have to try to figure out the reasons for it. There's none. And when you start saying, but, what if this child is going to be blind and have no brain? You're going to have to leave that up to God. God does not give you the right to kill the child before it's born. If the child's born dead, the child's born dead. If it's born alive and it lives for 20 years, it does. We suffered this in our immediate family. Our grandkids, their first child, the doctors pleaded with them to abort this child because it had what was called, in layman terms, a mermaid syndrome. The legs were fused together totally. It would never be separated. The odds were the child would never live. I think they had one case where it lived to be 21 years old, but the odds are it wouldn't live to be two. And they begged our kids to abort the child. And praise God, our two grandkids didn't do it. Now, the child was born dead. That is God's choice, but I'll tell you what, it wasn't our grandkids' choice. I want you to know something. I want you to know that out of the 57 million abortions, 0.5% have been because of rape. I want you to know that 3% have been because of the health of the child. I want you to know that 4%, there's been some kind of a physical health problem. Add those together, and only 7.5% of them would be where you might want to cave in and say, well, it's okay. That means that the 93%, for these reasons, here are the reasons, would interfere with education or the career, was not mature enough to raise a child. Oh, you got to be kidding. I wouldn't be here. 8% don't want to be a single mother. That's not the time to be thinking about it. 19% are done having children. Not the time to think about that one either. 23% can't afford a baby. You got to be kidding. 100% of people can't afford babies. You think it's bad having a child, wait till you have to raise it. 25% said they were not ready for a child. Well, my son's 43, I'm still not ready. And I know this is a laborious message to you, but what I'm saying is, our country is going to do what it's going to do because it's being run by the Hillary Clintons and the Michelle Grishams and those people that say they know God, but somewhere they don't get what God gets. And so I just want to know, we're not going to have you come confess it. I want you to think in your mind, at what point would you personally allow an abortion? And when you find that point where you would allow it, You've strayed from the mind of God. And it does not end there. Read the book, read chapter 1 of Romans. It does not end there. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper. What about perversion? Do any of you know Nancy Pelosi? Nancy Pelosi is a Catholic. Now, I'm not saying this. Come on. I'm not going to lie about these people, so it's okay. Let me read a statement so I don't get it wrong. Pelosi states that her Catholic faith is behind her position on the LGBT rights, such as same-sex marriage, though the Catholic Church defines that marriage is between one man and one woman. Quote, this is Nancy Pelosi's quote, "To minister to the needs of God's creation is an act of worship. To ignore those needs is to dishonor the God who made us." That's her statement. That's her biblical statement for supporting the LGBT community. Pelosi hedged her recital of the verse a little, saying, quote, "I can't find it in the Bible, but I quote it all the time. I keep reading and reading the Bible. I know it's there someplace. It's supposed to be in Isaiah." LGBT, now they added a Q. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. And then there's that group that have no clue if they're even on earth. It's a Q. See, I thought, that can't be right. That must stand for queer. But it doesn't. It stands for questionable. What is there left to question when you're in this group? They're going to have to start adding letters all the time. They really will, because at some point you're going to have to add a letter for those that have sex with animals. And you're going to have to add a letter for those that want to marry their poodle. Now, I'm just saying, these aren't atheists that are doing this, folks. Now, there's probably filled a lot of atheists, maybe in the LGBTQ community. And you know what? We kind of glossed over it. It says they glorify him not as God, neither were they thankful. Because there's nothing to thank God for in these situations. So you can't thank God that you were born a boy. Because you think God made a mistake, and you're confused, and you want to be a girl. Honestly, you can't thank God, but you can't thank God because you love men. You're a man who loves men. You can't thank God for that because God has nothing to do. Why did he do that to you? So not only do they not worship God as God, neither were they thankful. I always thought those were two separate. They're not. They are totally connected. See, I've said before, I think maybe in the auditorium, but definitely in my Sunday school class, it's not that atheists have nothing to be thankful for. They just don't have anybody to be thankful to. And so they're not thankful. I just want to know, what do you think? What do you think in your mind about homosexuals and lesbians and bisexual and transgender and those that can't even figure out what bathroom to use? Now, I know I say that in a manner that doesn't sound very loving, but you know what? I know what God thinks about that. I'm just asking you what you think about it. And if you have found your way into a mercy field, then you're doing it in ignorance. You are to glorify God as God, not as who you think he is. And don't assume he's like you. God is angry with the wicked every day, it says in Psalms. Every day he's angry with the wicked. What about providence? Now, providence includes, let me read this verse out of Daniel first. You don't have it on the screen. Listen to this, Daniel. "This matter is by decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent for this purpose, that the living may know that the Most High, capital H, ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men." That basest of men means the lowliest of men. How many of us believe that God is the one that gives us our presidents? He does. Now, he may give us those that we deserve. Now, depending on your political affiliation, you probably can go to God and thank God for either Trump or Obama. But God gave both of those to us. You say, no, it comes by the vote of the people. Nah, it does not. Do I think you should vote? I absolutely do. And God can use that to work His will. Donald Trump is not an accident for our country. But Obama was not an accident for our country. And so what do we think? Where do we get into this? What do you think? See, it's important what we think about that. Do we really think? I mean, this, you say, well, that's back in Daniel. That's old time stuff. It's Bible. It's the book that foresees the governments of the world all the way up to the Antichrist, the last ruler of the new Roman Empire. It's a book that calls them out one right after the other. You say, well, why wasn't Trump named? Well, because you know what? I can't tell you that except I don't think we're going to be around long enough to make Bible history. That's my opinion, all right? And so we're told in Scriptures that we're to pray for kings and all that are in authority. But to be thankful for them? You mean as an independent fundamental Baptist, I should be thankful for the 8 years of Obama? That's hard to say. It's hard to listen to. But if we're going to worship God as God, you and I need to understand something. He is the one that rules in the kingdom of men. And it says right here in Scripture, He gives the rule to whomsoever He will, even to the lowliest of men. All the way back to Nebuchadnezzar. What's my purpose? My purpose is not to rail on our country, and I'm using these, what I call social items, just to show you that we need to take inventory. It may not just be the world, because all of this has come through people that know God. And you and I this morning know God. I think it's about time maybe we start understanding that we better know the God of this book. See, you're without excuse. It says that, by the way, earlier in Romans. They're without excuse. They're without excuse because there's enough in creation to show there's a God, and now they are absolutely obligated to search out that God, but they will not do it. And when they stand before the throne of God, the great white throne, to be cast into the lake of fire, they will not have an excuse of not even having heard the Bible. You see, it becomes man's responsibility when he looks. So do you wonder at all why evolution is as big as it is? I mean, Satan definitely wants you to be an evolution believer, because then you won't seek. If we have evolved, there is no God to see in evolution. There's no God that's going to hold you accountable. There's no God to seek after. Just live and be merry and have fun, because tomorrow you're going to die. And then the next day you'll be cast into the lake of fire. And don't be sold on this. Now listen, I'm going to ask you this morning. See, I need to be challenged with this. In my heart, do I believe that in time past, in six literal days as I know it, 24-hour days, God created everything to the vast depths of the universe? Everything. Or do I believe in evolution? Or theistic evolution, or intelligent design? Don't be swayed by intelligent design. Listen to me, come on. The scientists that believe in intelligent design do not believe, that is not creationism. They believe that somehow this has to have an intelligent design. They absolutely, almost to a person, do not believe in creationism. It is a trick word. Intelligent design. We know it was intelligent decision, but we also know the design happened that quick. But all I'm asking you is, what do you believe? I'm just asking you that because you're here this morning telling me, as I'm telling you, I believe in God. We're going to have to determine what God we believe in and determine that He's not like us. We could go on. I've got this list. I can slice this anywhere we want it, so I'm not going to cover all these. What do you know about the attributes of God? Do you believe that God... You know, this is mind-boggling. Do you believe God's everywhere? Do you actually believe that He knows right now your thoughts? Do you know He knows right now whether you're really thinking of Him as God? He knows right now what you're thinking of this message. He knows whether you're offended, whether you agree, whether you could care less. He knows whether you are weak on evolution. He knows whether in some cases you would allow an abortion. He knows that you have taken heart and are sympathizing with homosexuals and lesbians. You know, he knows that right now. There isn't anything you can tell him. In fact, confession is not revealing anything to God. It's just admitting God's right. He's all powerful. So we could do with the attributes. What do you know about the attributes? And I understand this. Some people may not know a lot, but we're without excuse because it's right here. Here's the value of this book. You've got to believe what's in this book. And when you don't read this book and you don't listen to it being taught and preached, you are probably going to design a God in your imagination that is not as God. About salvation by grace. Oh, we all believe in salvation by grace. Good. Well, a lot of people don't. A lot of people believe in salvation by works. But most people believe in a man-centered salvation. Do you know God? Listen to me. Now, I'm doing something right now that I promised myself, having come out of Methodism when I got saved 44 years ago, that I would never stand before any group and assume that you're saved. I made a promise to myself because that would have hurt me if you had assumed because I was a Methodist I was saved. I was lost as a goose, along with the entire flock in that church. So I'm just saying this morning, I'm going to say for a minute, you know you're saved. Let me surprise you. God did not save you to be a pilot. God did not save you to be a doctor or a nurse or a lawyer. God did not save you to be in law enforcement. God did not save you to be a pastor, a banker. You say, that might be heresy. Oh, I believe God knew what I was going to be before my mother's womb. God saved me for one distinct purpose, and that is to glorify Him. He didn't save me to be an athlete. He didn't save me to be a police officer. He gave me some talents and abilities to do those things, but through all those things, the whole purpose is that I will glorify Him and believe in Him as He is, not as I want Him to be. And if you and I aren't going to do it, no one's going to do it. The scientists are not going to do it. The Muslims are not going to do it. Our politicians are not going to do it. The importance this morning, I'm not here to say, man, let's change America. Let's have riots in the streets. Not at all. Serious. I just want to challenge you to go home today and think, how much of your belief is imagination? Come on, how much of your belief is imagination? How much of your absolute belief is based on this book? Or how much of your belief you've decided that God's like you and God would be sympathetic in these areas? I mean, we could go through prayer. But see, the only proof that you believe in biblical prayer is that you pray. Man, wouldn't it be something if we could just say, okay, I'm going to ask you a question, and you're bound to respond honestly. I want to know how many people in this congregation pray minimum 1 hour every day without fail. Would you please stand? Now, don't do it, please. Wouldn't that be interesting? How many of you in here who know God? You know God. You claim to be saved. You claim this is the inspired Word of God. Don't pray at all. Men ought to always pray and faint not. Pray without ceasing. Be instant in prayer. I could go a whole service on just prayer. I want to spark something in you this morning. I want to spark it in me. I just know that somewhere in our country's past, people that believed in God let these things slip through their fingers. The they in Romans 1 is not they, it's us. It's us. It's us that just believe that God doesn't particularly care whether I go to church. God doesn't particularly care if I give. He understands that I've got to use this money to support myself. Well, I'll just use one more, Dolly. I don't know if you don't even need to put it up on the board if you don't want to, but I wonder how many of you this morning believe in hell. Wonder how many of you believe in an honest biblical description of hell. Oh, God of mercy wouldn't have something like that. Do you understand hell is God's wrath upon the sinner? God's wrath upon those that would not accept Him or His Son? Do you realize that hell is eternal? It says the worm dieth not. That's not a maggot. That's that thing that will eat on you. Do you know, listen to me, do you know that when you've been in hell for eternity, you will still remember the opportunities you had to glorify God through His Son, Jesus Christ? I believe you'll remember it for eternity. And just the opposite, for those of us that are saved, at some point prior to the new heavens and the new earth, our tears will be wiped away because the former things will be done away. So if just for argument's sake, if you're a member of this church that I love and I associate with, but for some reason you're not a believer and you and I go to hell, you're going to remember, I believe, forever me and this church and the Scriptures. And there'll come a time I won't ever remember you again. You say, well, shame on you. No, I have nothing to do with it. It's the mercies of God. There's no joy in heaven if I have to remember my friends that died and went to hell and are there for eternity. Do you know the scope of hell? That it's a fiery place of torment and agony and weeping and gnashing of teeth, not for an hour, not just while you're having an injection or a colonoscopy. I mean forever and ever, day in and day out, and it will never cease. Now, I want to know if you really believe that, because that's what it is. And you're going to say, you know, I just can't believe that a God of mercy would do that. Then you're starting to get into this area that we're talking about this morning. You know God, but you don't worship Him as that little adverb, as God. If you're going to worship Him, you've got to, if you're going to glorify Him, you've got to glorify the God of this Bible. How much more important that we know we have a Bible? You see why the attack on this book is so strong? Do you understand why there are 7,000 different versions of this book now? Because to tell you the truth, some of these books are being interpreted to present to you a God of this man's interpretation, not the God of the Bible, with hard things to understand. I give you one last thing. Whenever I preach in the morning, I always usually make a deal with you that I will give you back the time that I go over in the evening service. So, Monty, you're going to have to cut your message tonight a little bit. Okay. What do you think about Israel? Do you think those poor little Palestinians have been robbed? Now, I'm saying this to offend you. They have no business in that land whatsoever. Oh, but it was their land. No, I'm sorry. It was never their land. What do you think about the nation of Israel? See, the reason I'm choosing these things is because these are hot-button items in our world today. You see, we now have elected two Muslim women to Congress. It has not been a month, and they are already defiling our relationship with Israel. Why would we be surprised? Muslims hate Israel. You say, well, Brother Forbes, why do you make a big deal? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to worship the God of this Bible, you better understand where Israel fits in. Now, I believe they're in the land in unbelief. I don't believe that God has started bringing them in as He's going to bring them in for the tribulation time. But let me tell you something. That land is all Israel's. And if you don't agree with it, you take it up with God. I just want to tell you that you're worshiping a God of your imagination. You're not worshiping a God of this Bible. And as we go in our... I just want you to be prepared for it. Nothing you can do about it. But as we elect certain people to our government, when we now elect the LGBTQ community to run our government, when we elect Muslims to run our government, folks, you need to understand what's going to happen. If you're going to walk into a tiger's den, don't be surprised when the tiger eats you. That's not my purpose. My purpose is just to try to stir you up to see if you'd be willing to admit, and Baptists are very bad about admitting anything, that maybe some of your beliefs are the imagination of your mind because you honestly thought God was like you. God is so far above us, folks. The gulf is so, it's amazing He spanned the gulf to save us. We are made in His image. And given the quality, the ability to glorify Him. My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Here's my invitation to you this morning. What does it take? What does it take to shake people who think they know God, who admit they know God? What does it take to shake them to find out if they believe in the God of the Bible? What does it take? Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want you to know my purpose this morning. My purpose will have an invitation, but my purpose is to get you with fear and trembling to search your soul, to search the God that you glorify. Well, I mean, we've looked at all. We've looked at history. We've looked at current. I mean, there are just people everywhere. And folks, we're not dealing with the atheists. We're dealing with people that say they know God. You know God. You know God that are here this morning. These fundamental issues that we call political issues are not political issues. They're moral, biblical issues. And you may not be able to change what happens in our state and our country. You may not, honestly. We're way, way down the slippery slope. But you can change God's favor on you in what you believe. God is a merciful God, but He's also a God of vengeance. God is a God of love, but He's also a God of hate. God is a God of grace, but He's also a God of justice. God is a God of kindness, but He's also a God of anger. God is a God of blessing, but He's also a God of chastisement. Best you know your God. Lord, Father, have your invitation this morning. We've seen in our country, if not in our church, those that claim to know you have made up things about you and think you're pleased. Speak to them this morning. Help them, convict them, get them to understand that if we're going to glorify you, we must glorify as you are and not try to make you what we want you to be. We don't want to do it with our wives and our husbands. Why would we want to do it with you? We've got to admit, Father, you're not like us. Though you may have kept silent so far in our lives, we know that there is something to pay for when we worship you as something other than what you are. Father, hold your invitation this morning. Whether it's a physical invitation and coming to this altar, or someone that trembles and goes home and considers and fears that they're being displeasing to you because they're worshiping a small g God and not the God of the universe. Father, work your work this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.